Well, this morning, we're going to go back into being led by the Spirit of God. I was going to minister a message that I thought was pretty good. I didn't get a sense that I wasn't supposed to go that way, but I was going to talk about being led by the Spirit, which had to do with Thanksgiving, in those areas. But on Monday morning, when I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, these words came to me and just came right through my spirit. And when they came, it's always one thing that amazes me about God. He'll say one sentence, but all of a sudden I just know all these different things. It's like all of a sudden all this stuff, all of a sudden you know. I don't know how he does that, but it's pretty cool, he says something. But anyhow, these words came to me. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Well, really, that came, from the Psalm 23. But when he said that, I realized, what he wanted to do, what he wanted to lead us into. It's one of the things is the Holy Spirit will do this. One of the things we talk about being led by the Spirit, and I'm teaching it different than I ever taught it before, and the Holy Spirit, because you have to know how the Holy Spirit leads. Now, it doesn't, it's no good to take the time to hear the inward witness if you don't know the Word of God. Because you wouldn't know who's talking to you anyhow or what they're saying or talking about. And so understanding and knowing the Word of God is important. Kenneth Hagin, I heard him say this back many years ago when I first came into Christianity. He said the number one thing that Christians need today, the number one thing that they need is a renewed mind. He said that's number one. And over the years, I can truthfully say that is still the number one thing that Christians need is a renewed mind. A renewed mind does not come just by reading the Bible, generally being a Christian and, going along and, memorizing a few scriptures or anything like that. The renewing of the mind is changing what you think. Probably everybody that's here, you came out of a background different than you're being taught here. Your background. And one of the things that I noticed over the years, because even in dealing with myself, I found this out that there's things that even though we weren't really into following God, but we had religious things that we were taught, and how many of those things have gotten deep-seated in us and we've never gotten them out of us? We never really renewed our minds. We added things to what we believe, but it's like anything. If you have something that's contaminated, if you have water that's contaminated, just because you put some pure water in it, it don't make it not contaminated. And it's not just putting new thoughts in your mind. It's getting rid of old thinking, old stuff. And, sometimes I was amazed over the years sometimes when the Lord would show me something, I'd think, I'm still holding that one? Dear Lord, I need to get... What on earth? Why am I thinking like that? And it's getting rid of things, taking on the mind of Christ, you got to take on a whole new mind, a whole new way of thinking. See, most people, and we are not just if you're past, but what happens? Things happen as you go along and walking in life. People's feelings get hurt. They let those things get into their mind. You would be surprised today if I just sat and asked you a question. If God gave me the wisdom of different things that happen in your life, that I could ask you certain questions and your response would be according to what happened to you and not according to what the Word of God says. People did things or stuff, and there's hurts that are carried. Unforgivenesses sometimes on things. We're still upset. Somebody did such and such. We think God did us wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God never did anybody wrong. And if you think that God did you wrong, you're messed up. You got to get that out of you because that's demonic thinking. Because that area, you'll get owned in that area, and you'll never have a trust in God like you'd like to have. You'll never have that. You can't trust the one you don't like. See, you got to, the things that must be removed, things that are hindrances to us. One of the things we're going to talk about today is this. Let me read just to the 23rd Psalm. We read it because we're talking about the Lord being our shepherd is what the Psalm's about, is the Lordship. And the 23rd Psalm just starts, so I'm going to read the first three verses. It said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." So understand the leading. The Holy Spirit, we have already read, we're not going back to the Scriptures, but the Holy Spirit leads and guides you into all the truth. He takes what belongs to Jesus, He reveals it to us. So we understand Jesus is the shepherd. So the Holy Ghost, well, how's He going to lead you? Is He going to lead you to trouble, problems, and whatever? He said He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. It said, what does He do? The Holy Spirit's job is to restore your soul. This is why you, if you're not led by the Spirit, you cannot have a restored soul. Soul is your mind, will, and emotions. You got to get them fixed. I don't know about you. Mine still need worked on. We're developing. We're growing. You cannot grow any further than you will renew your mind. Your mind is going to determine what you will let go on in your spirit. Your mind will control what you will say out of your spirit. Your spirit may want to speak things out that would come to pass to bless you. But if your mind isn't renewed, your mind won't let your spirit say it. Your mind will keep saying what's on your mind. Like I say, you know, people come along, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. People usually said that. Why don't you give me a piece of your spirit? That'd be something good. Probably bless you. No, I want to give you something out of my mind that will destroy me. Okay? I want to turn the devil loose. I want to say something dumb. Come on, let me do it. So you want to say something out of the inner man. Your inner man is the place of life. And see, you want to be able to allow that to come forth. You want to let come forth what's in the inside. The Holy Spirit's training and teaching the inner man. And you want to get those thoughts in your mind. That's what you want to do. And so the flesh, if your mind is connected to your flesh and to walking on the outside and thinking about what's just natural, you're going to have a lot of problems in that area. But He restores your soul. And what He does, He leads you in paths of righteousness. And He says this. This is a wonderful thing. He did it for His name's sake. You need to understand this. God did what all He did because He wanted to. Not on the merit of anybody. You didn't deserve a good thing. You deserved nothing. You need to understand this. The marvel of our God, now think about it. You and I are in a position that we deserve nothing. We're in sin. We're children of the devil. That's what we are. And what does God do? Comes along. You know what I'm going to do? I got a plan. I'm going to turn them into my kids. I'm going to put my spirit in them. He goes doing all this stuff. God does all these things. Well, He couldn't do it for your name's sake because, you know, people say, well, God's love. Yeah, He's love. Love reached out and said, you know, in spite of those idiots, I'm going to bless the socks off of them. And you know what? They're not going to be idiots anymore. So, but see, this was paid. He did it for His name's sake. He did it because of what He is, not based on what you are. Why would you think God would bless you on the basis of what you are? Because if you think in that manner, you're always going to have small faith. Because you live with you and your stupidity. You live with the dumb mistakes and the different things that you do. And if you measure what God will do to you based on you, you're going to have a small list of what you think He'll do for you. It's going to be a little list. You'll be able to, you won't have to write it down. You'll remember it all the time. It's called nothing. What do you do for me? I'm just looking, look what I've done. I've done this and that and the other thing. See, we carry those things with us. So we need a mind that's renewed. The Holy Spirit will lead you into what He's going to lead you. When we're saying lead you in paths of righteousness, God is not going to lead you into path to try to do something to make you righteous. Because we want to find out God already did that. You see, He's leading you into the paths of this. The Holy Spirit takes truth and reveals it to us. In other words, the knowledge of the truth of righteousness, He's going to lead you into. You need knowledge. Understand this. Knowledge is the number one thing you need. If you don't have knowledge, you can't have faith. Faith is based upon knowledge. If you don't know what the Word of God says about something, you can't have any faith in it. If you don't know what he said, you couldn't have faith to be saved if you didn't know, have the knowledge of what the word says about salvation, what the word says about healing, or what the word says about finances, or whatever it might be. You need knowledge of the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is the knowledge giver. He does that. He gives knowledge, and he gives understanding and wisdom to you to walk in things. So what he's gonna, he'll lead you in paths of righteousness. So in other words, you need to gain knowledge of righteousness. Right now, I would say that that's one of the greatest lackings. I would say, surely, probably on the top of the list of the greatest lacking in the areas of that. Because on understanding righteousness, most Christians have a sin consciousness. They don't have a righteous consciousness. They have a sin consciousness. And that always affects them. Every time they pray, every time they go to God on the basis of their sin consciousness, on the basis of their mistakes, the things that they've done, where they've missed it, they go to God on that basis. It's because they spend most of their time in thinking in that area. They never renew their mind to what the Bible says. Because what the Bible says, if you really look at it, it seems crazy. That's why, you know, Calvinism dominates the church world today. Calvinism is, you know, God's in charge of everything and everything just, you just got saved and you were chosen to be saved and the people that ain't saved were never chosen to be saved and all this, just God's picking everything out. We're just along for a ride here, and, you know, and some of us are on the ride to hell, some of us are on the ride to heaven, and God just chose that and all this nonsense. But that's a basic foundation, and most Christians and even Spirit-filled Christians are loaded with it, are full of it. They go pray and they ask for something and they don't really believe God's going to give it to them. If it don't, you know, that don't happen in 2 minutes, they would still couldn't think that he would actually show up. What we have is we're in this position is like, we have no durability. Why? Well, God didn't give it, it didn't happen right away, so they must have a reason. There must be a reason. Why? So we go through the things. Well, we go look at that. And so then we want to do, let's start a religion. Let's start a religion that says, he's not healing me because he's trying to teach me something. Because, you know, and you go into all these stupid things. We don't sit and think in line with what the Word of God says. If you think in line with the Word of God, you can stand strong and just stand and stand strong and not be moved. If you can't stand and not be moved, it's because you don't know what the Bible says. You haven't renewed your mind, and this is what God wants you to be able to stand strong. God wants you to be able to stand. When circumstances are tough, you know, he wanted Peter to walk on the water. He didn't want him to sink. You know, how many of us would even consider getting out of the boat? I mean, most people wouldn't get out of the boat. It's at the dock. Somebody had to drag them out there afraid they might step and slip and fall in the water. And somebody, you know, everything has to be so secure. Everything has to be so... But see, building within ourselves a confidence in God that no matter what happens, see, you got to get out of the scene life. You got to get away from that thing. Because faith's not based upon that. And so we need to get away from that. Our feelings dominate us. And one of the things is the reason is we're going to talk about today is righteousness. That's one of the great problems that we deal with. Now, Jesus being the shepherd, I wanted to say this because there's certain things of foundations, of principles you need to get into your life. There's things that you need to begin meditating on and confessing constantly, saying. Number one, this, you're not going to have any more than you say. Your voice is going to control what you have in your life. Your voice. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. And see, you will never develop in a strong spirituality without making confessions about your strong spirituality. Confessing. Instead of, what we usually do is I'm saying things like I'm trying to believe God. Or, yes, I'm believing God, but we add these things to them. We never see ourselves or say concerning ourselves, you know, I'm following God, I'm walking with God, that's what I'm doing. No, we'll always throw in all of our stupid stuff. Yeah, well, I'm doing my best at it, and well, I'm trying, and I'm stumbling along, but I'm trying my best to, and you know what it is? You know what trying your best is? You ain't gonna do it, so quit talking, go sit down and have a drink at the bar or something, because you ain't gonna do any better than that. You need to learn to talk where you want to go. If you want to move the mountain, you got to talk the mountain, tell it to move. You don't say, well, you know, I'd like that mountain to move. And, you know, I'm just trying to build my faith to get that mountain to move. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I've always had trouble in this area. And I just, you know, that's people. They're sitting around. Why? Full of sin consciousness. Full of their own weaknesses. Filled with their weaknesses. And don't even realize this. They're lying about themselves, number one. Because they're not talking about the inward man. They see themselves and view themselves from the outside and call themselves people of faith. And all they do is talk about what they are outwardly. And the inward man has been created exactly like God. And what do? They run him down. Well, you know, I just can't do this or I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You talk to my inner man and see what he thinks on the subject. He don't think that other nuttiness. See, that's why I got to get led by the Spirit. Because I talk all kind of dumb stuff if I don't. I got to get on the inside. The inner man has the nature of God. He has been created in the likeness of God. A Holy Ghost lives in him and communicates with him. They're in there together working. Do you think he's some kind of scumbag? And so we make confessions of what we're not. We lie about ourselves and wonder why our faith's small. We say things we should just never be saying about ourselves. Now, one of the things Jesus said was this. In John, the 10th chapter, I'm going to read through the first 5 verses. This is Jesus speaking. Number one, I'm a big one on this, is Jesus is the authority. If he says something that's true and anything else that you say different about it, you're a liar. That's just that it. That's just the way I view it. If I say anything different, it's a lie. Jesus is right. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, that's Jesus. He enters by the door. He's our shepherd. Now, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, what does it say? The sheep sometimes hear his voice, and they're really trying. They really try to hear his voice. He said, no, Jesus said his sheep hears his voice. So I can say this. I hear his voice. You know, my inner man always hears the voice of Jesus. Sometimes I let my stupid mind get so loud, I can't hear it, but it ain't because Jesus didn't talk. That's my fault. That's me. But my inner man's all right. The inner man, the real Ed Gibson, hears the voice. Now, what I've got to do is get myself renewed in my mind so I pick up what's on the inside instead of listening to my mind talking other stuff and my flesh being so loud. See, we need to... He said to his sheep, what? Hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. In other words, he personally knows his sheep. You personally known, and what does he do? Well, sometimes I lead some of them, and sometimes I don't lead them, and sometimes... He said, no, I know my sheep personally. I know each of them's name. Every one of them. And what about... And I lead them out. That's what I do. Hallelujah. See, I'm not going to say anything different about this stuff. We need to get over we're confessing and saying the right things. If you don't operate in faith, there's nothing for the Holy Ghost to do for you. Or anything he can do. Only way you can please God is by faith. So you got to start saying what's right. He said, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. You know, he don't sit back on a lawn chair somewhere and say, hey, now go over there to the left or go over here that way or go do this. He's out there in front of you walking. Glory to God. I'm going along. The Lord's right out there ahead of me walking in the way. Glory to God. He's out there directed. He directs from up front. He's not the general in the army who sits back in a command post somewhere and telling all everybody else what to do out there. Hallelujah. He's out on the front. Glory to God. Well, look what else he says. He goes on to say, and when he said, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep know his sheep follow him, for they what? Know his voice. See, you got to start confessing you know the voice of the Lord. You got to start saying that. He said you know his voice. I wonder if Jesus lied. I've heard so many Christians lie on Jesus over the years. I just can't hear. I just don't know. God don't. I just don't know what. Jesus is a liar. He said, I can hear your voice, but he lied about it. But I love him. He's a liar, but I love that liar. Oh, yes, I'm so thankful to that liar. Jesus said that you know his voice. I wonder if that's true. I don't care if it seems like I know his voice or not. I will refuse. I will never say anything else. I have been, for all these years, have never said any different about it. When I read these scriptures as a young Christian, I decided, this is Jesus talking and it's true. You see how you need your mind renewed? See, many people say, I read through the Bible. Quit reading through it. Stop and meditate on it sometime till you get a revelation. Just going and reading pages is really nice if you just need something to do in the morning before you get to work. You would be better off taking two scriptures and meditating on them for 20 minutes or so than you would sitting down reading chapters and after chapters. Read till you get a revelation, because God wants to bring you a revelation today. God wants to bring revelation to you, something you can live and walk in, something that will do something for you, not something just to hear and say, ain't that nice? Something that'll change your life. Verse 5, it says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. He said they won't follow a stranger. Glory to God, I don't follow strangers. Hallelujah. Mike, do you follow strangers? No, Mike don't follow strangers either. That's two of us. Hallelujah. I don't follow strangers. No, Glory to God, I follow the shepherd. That's what I follow. See, I'm not going to get deceived. Are you going to get deceived? I'm not. I'm not going to get deceived. I don't follow strangers. I don't follow nonsense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But will flee from him, for they do not what? Know the voice of the stranger. That's a strange voice to us. We don't like it. I don't listen to strange voices. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, you got to get this in you. You got to get it into yourself and begin to take these things. Meditate on this till this becomes real to you. You get it on the inside. Start saying it. Don't wait till you believe it to say it. Faith comes by hearing. Use your voice. Become a preacher to you. If you're not a preacher to you, you're lazy. And you're just wasting your time with God. Because you spend more time with you than you do with me preaching to you. See, I preach to me. I preach to me a lot. Wanda says she hears me doing, you know, talking or singing and doing stuff, you know, and I do things and I say things. I'm always saying stuff. You get it on your voice. Why? People say, he talks to himself. I'm letting this inner man say something. Everybody else running around, they're keeping silent. And all they're doing, you know, you need to understand this. I don't care what you believe. If you could believe the right things, but if you ain't confessing them, they'll never happen. They're never coming to pass. You don't get what you believe. You get what you believe, what you say and do. That's what you get. That's Bible. So you gotta get it on your voice. Get these things on your voice. Get it to the thing. You say these things. You don't go along with all these people. Well, it's hard to hear from God. Would God establish a system that was hard for us? Isn't that stupid? I'm going to make a system that is too, it's hard to do. That's what I'm going to do. He made a system, according to scripture, that anybody can do. He talks about childlike faith. Christians act like childlike faith is some kind of mystery. If you ain't got childlike faith, you hardly have any. All faith that produces anything is a childlike faith. If it ain't producing, you know you ain't got it. I trust God like I'm a child. Whatever he says goes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If my daddy said he'll take care of me, my daddy's going to take care of me. If you can't believe that, you're operating an intellectual faith based upon your wisdom and knowledge, and that ain't worth spit. Childlike faith is just believing what God said is true. Believing he's a good daddy. Simplest thing in the world. What he said is true. He said, I hear his voice. I refuse to believe anything else. But my daddy said, I hear his voice. I don't care what anybody else has to say on the subject. In fact, if you say different, you might get me mad talking about my daddy like that. I may talk to you about that. That's the way us kids are. You don't badmouth my daddy, you're in trouble. Them fighting words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have an excellent God. Now, we're going to look concerning righteousness. We're saying these things by this because you got to get the picture of Jesus and Jesus leading. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into righteousness. He's going to take what belongs to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. That's one of the ways that Jesus speaks to us is through the Holy Spirit. That's why when Jesus said when he goes, he said, I'm going to send another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind. The Holy Ghost is just like having Jesus Christ himself in you. That's what he is. He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. It's like having, he's another. He's just like Jesus. He doesn't have any other ministry that he does. His ministry is to reveal the ministry of Jesus. That's all it does. And so I know this, the Holy Spirit in me, when he talks to me, it's Jesus Christ. He doesn't have his own agenda or own things he's doing. So I know he's going to talk to me. I know I can hear him. I'm not listening to the stranger. Hallelujah. The great safety of learning to be led by the Spirit is this, because that's the only voice you're going to hear out of your inner man. You're not going to hear the devil talking out of the inside unless you're a sinner, he who may. But you're a saint of God. You're not going to hear a devil talking out of you. In your spirit is going to be God. Now, you can let the devil in your mind as a Christian, and he can talk to you and do all kinds of stuff if you allow him to. If you don't get your mind renewed, he'll come and have a picnic. He'll come and talk to you and talk through your mind. But see, the safety we have is being led by the Spirit. Led on the inside, that's the safety, folks. Because out of the inside, the devil can't go there. He don't live in that place. He can't be in that place. He can't do that. That's why you want to learn to listen out of the inside. That's the place the Holy Spirit's indwelling with your spirit and communing together. Fellowship, you and God hanging out with each other. That's the place. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read a scripture, one of the things that Jesus said in Matthew the 6th chapter. If we read Matthew the 6th chapter, where Jesus talked about to the disciples about being taken care of, how Jesus feeds the birds, how the flowers are dressed better than Solomon. And he went on to tell them and said about them, oh, you of little faith things, you know. And he talked about the things that the world seeks. You know, the world seeks after the stuff. Now, this is what Jesus said we were supposed to seek. Jesus said this, and so I want to find out, and we're going to find out today, you can find out whether you've been listening to Jesus or other things and other stuff. Because Jesus just simply said this, Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Understand, listen what he said. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he didn't say, and second his righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is first. And we're going to look at the importance of this, because if, what have you been seeking? What have you been after? Have you been seeking stuff and things, but haven't spent the time of seeking the kingdom and righteousness? Righteousness is the cornerstone of the kingdom. That's the cornerstone of God's kingdom is righteousness. God is a righteous God. And his kingdom operates under righteousness. It's a kingdom of righteousness. If you don't understand righteousness, you can't understand the kingdom. You don't understand what the scripture says about righteousness, you'll always be weak in faith. You'll always have faith problems. You'll always have trouble in that area because your approach to God, God's kingdom is a righteous kingdom. But if you don't see yourself in the righteousness that God's given you, you will approach the kingdom based on your sin consciousness, on your weakness and your failure, and you'll come to God based on that, which is unscriptural, instead of coming to God based on what he said. This is why we need the knowledge of God. We need knowledge of righteousness. Concerning this subject, E.W. Kenyon said, he said it's the most, righteousness is the most important subject in the Bible. And I think I agree with him 100%. Because I don't care what you know about anything else. If you have problems with the righteousness area and understanding it, you will always be limited in your faith and you'll be limited on how far you'll go with God. You won't have the fellowship with God that He desires to have with you. And people will always think it is God, some reason God's doing something and God has not done a thing. God has opened the door to fellowship to all humanity, anybody that wants to come to Him. He's opened the door. He's more than willing to fellowship with whoever wants to come to Him if they will come to Him according to what the Word says. But men don't. Men want to get in fellowship with God, but they don't believe they can. See, they don't act in faith. We don't approach Him by faith. We approach Him based on our works and our performance. We approach Him. We're excited to go to God, you know, and we think we've done good, but we messed up. We get coward, we get everything. Why? Because we live in a sin consciousness. We even confess our sin and we still have no boldness in His presence. We still have this in our mind. And a lot of it's because of religion in the past. Religion's always taught us. Religion basically preaches sin consciousness. You're always guilty. You're just guilty, that's it. I don't care. You did good, you're still guilty. Yeah, who cares? It don't matter. You're guilty. And it keeps her. But first we're supposed to seek His kingdom and righteousness. We're not trying to find righteousness. We go to the Scriptures not to find righteousness, to gain knowledge of righteousness. What is it? Do I have it or don't I have it? We're not trying to find it. Where is it? We're looking for revelation knowledge of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. That's what we're to be looking for. That's the paths of righteousness that the Holy Spirit will lead you into. The Holy Ghost is always going to lead you to the place where you can walk before God without any kind of guilt, inferiority, or anything like that. God, the Holy Spirit will always try to bring you to the place where your faith becomes stronger and stronger. If your faith is not growing, then you definitely have a problem about the idea that you think about what spirituality is. We should constantly be growing. My faith over the years has constantly gotten larger, and it should. That's the norm. It should. Why? Because that's the way the Holy Ghost will lead you. The Holy Ghost won't lead you to just dormant, sitting there in some place. He doesn't lead in that manner. He's always trying to take you to the place where you have a greater fellowship with God and a place where your faith operates on a higher and higher level all the time. That's where He's taking you to. That's how He's going to lead you. He's not going to lead you to a place to diminish your faith. Now listen, in Romans 14:17 says, look what it says, the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is not organic food. The kingdom of God is not a diet from heaven. That is not the kingdom of God. See, we have so much. This is Romans 14, verse 17. In fact, I encourage you, sit down and read the book of Romans. Over the first half of the book of Romans is based about righteousness and what righteousness is. And about righteousness. Now, what is the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? He said, number one, the kingdom of God. Listen, Paul wrote. Number one, what's the kingdom of God? It is righteousness. I thought it was power. You don't understand righteousness, you never have any power anyhow. If you understand righteousness, power is the norm. Glory to God. Righteousness, and listen to what he says. And I want you to understand this. He's saying this in an order. Because you can forget and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost if you don't get the righteousness part. You'll never have peace nor joy unless you understand the righteousness power part. Because if you don't understand the righteousness part, you will not be bold before God. And I'll tell you what, you won't have peace and joy if you have no boldness or confidence in His presence. You won't have peace or joy. It won't happen. Quit praying for peace and joy. Quit praying for that stuff. Follow what the Scripture says, you'll have it. It's the norm. Really, I look at peace and joy as being one of those things. Peace and joy is just one of those things that just comes along if you do the other stuff. It's just the norm thing that just happens. You know, it's what it is. The more I've turned around and learned how to walk by faith before God and what His Word says, the more peace and joy I have. The less things bug me and I get nervous about stuff. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get it. I'm not trying to get peace and joy. It's the norm. It's the norm of the kingdom. This is what the kingdom. See, I must not be hooking up with the kingdom. I don't have peace and joy. Then I'm not connected somehow to the kingdom. And there's only one way of connection, and that's through faith. And you can't come to faith without understanding righteousness. Can't get it. It won't happen. Hallelujah. E.W. Kenyon says this concerning righteousness. He said, righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of Father God without any sense of guilt or inferiority. That's what righteousness is. Is to stand before God. In other words, when I come and pray and I even come to the Word and things, I come, and you need to understand, so we come to the Word of God, we're coming to the presence of God and His Word. We're coming to God. And you know what? If people come and I hear people say things like, you know, I just have a hard time understanding. And they have no peace and joy. They have no confidence in God concerning the Word. They have no confidence. I just have problems. They have no faith in going to the Bible. So you know, the Bible's going to talk to me today. Hallelujah. God has things He's going to show Ed. Glory to God. We don't go. Why? Our whole thing is our whole little guilt trip. The Christian guilt trip. That is a spirituality today to most Christians. My inferiority shows my humility. No, it doesn't. It shows your stupidity. Shows you how dumb you are. Shows you how far away from the Word you are. But see, religion taught us that. They taught us to feel guilty in His sight. They taught us, oh yeah, don't get prideful. Oh yeah, be dumb. Somehow being dumb and prideful were somehow, no. Being dumb isn't humility. Again, it's stupidity. And I'll tell you what, the church of stupidity is the pride church. They're filled with their pride and wearing the right clothes and driving the right car and doing nothing but pride. You're going to hell because you, my God, look, your bumpers are so shiny, I just can't. Or this or that, the other thing, or I don't do that, I don't eat this and I don't eat that, or I don't do all the things they're so proud of. It's pride. It's man trying to approach God on his own strength and ability. There's no faith involved in it. No faith involved in it. Jesus never did that to people, did he? Jesus never did that. Jesus always took people and told them to do what the Word says. Do what the Bible. He'd tell them what the Word says. He'd tell them, no, we're not happy with that. No, we gotta add to. We love the law, man. We love to have these. I follow these rules and regulations, so I'm better than you. Hallelujah. I walk by faith. You might follow better rules and regulations, but I know how to walk by faith. And that's what you want to come to. I walk by faith. I'm walking with faith, and not my faith is in what Jesus can do for me, not what I can do for me. I know what I can do for me. I did it for 30 years. Thank God that guy's dead. My God, we're so glad he's died, dear Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. I don't want to have a funeral for him. I don't even remember the idiot. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, anyhow. Now, Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 17. Listen to these words. Now, we may know them and can quote them, but they must become a revelation to us of their truth. You need a revelation of these truths. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, now listen, much more, those who receive abundance of grace. Those who received abundance of grace. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's writing a letter to Christians. So in other words, what did you already receive? What are you trying to get grace for? He said you already got abundance of it. People are trying to get more grace from God and they ain't even used 10% of what's already been given to any abundance. He said, what about this thing? Who receive abundance of grace. We receive that from, we receive abundance of grace. Grace is always abounding toward me. Hallelujah. Grace abounds toward us, the scripture says. Listen. And what did you receive? The gift of righteousness. Did he say you had to earn righteousness? It's called a gift. The righteousness we got is a gift. It is a gift given. What does it say concerning these individuals? They will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now, let me read this to you. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. The Amplified says this. For if by the transgression of one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, Adam, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in eternal life through the one Jesus Christ. Now get this out of your mind. When he says eternal life, he's not talking about after you die. Eternal life is something you got when you were born again. Every spirit being, whether they belong to God or the devil, lives forever. Eternal life is not living forever. Majority of the church, and that's the majority of Christians, even spirit-filled Christians, oh yeah, we're going to have eternal life. We're going to live forever with Jesus. Every spirit being lives forever. No spirit being ever dies. That's why when the devil's kids are put in the lake of fire, it lasts forever. They never die. Because no spirit being, it's the life of God. You got the life of God. You have eternal life. The sinner has what the Bible calls eternal death working in them. That's what I had before I was born again. I had eternal death. No wonder I acted like I did. Dumb Christians thought I should have acted better. Well, I had to get saved to do that. I had to get eternal life. I acted like eternal death. That's what I acted like. I just don't understand people call them Christians, self-Christians, and they still act like eternal death. You get eternal life, so we have this eternal life. This word eternal life is the word Zoe. And really what it's talking about is the God kind of life, or other the life that God has. You were born again in that life. You are not trying to get God's life in you. You have God's life in you. If you don't have God's life in you, you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. He will not live in a place that don't have God's life. You were born again in the life and then in the nature of God. That's what you are as a Christian. A true Christian is one who is born of the nature of God. We have God's very nature, His life in us. Our life is like the life of God. The life of God produces good stuff. It produces healing. Healing's normal. It should be the norm of Christians. Blessing of any kind, whether financial or whatever. Eternal life produces all blessing. That's what it does. It can't produce nothing else. Why? You go to heaven. You go to heaven. Is there anything bad there? Why? Because that's a place of the kingdom of God. That's the life kingdom. You and I are born of that life. God's very life. His life runs that place, and His life now is in you and me. That life is in us. That life was given to you. And giving you that, he gives you that you can receive abundance of grace. How much do you want? And what he said? The gift of righteousness. He didn't say you had to earn righteousness or do something to be righteous. He said you got it. It's a gift. Righteousness is a gift given to you. It's yours. It is no different today that if I do something, you know, we're giving people a calendar back there. When we give that, we actually give it as a gift. You know what? We don't own it no more when you take it. Do you know what most Christians, and you, some of you here, you have this problem. Because you are Job Christians. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You don't have to shake your head and say, yeah, that's me. No, you believe that junk. God don't give and take away. Job said that the scripture says this. He didn't lie when he said it. Now, why would he say he didn't lie when he said it? He didn't. Job thought that was true. He thought God took from him, and he didn't realize it was the devil took from him. God turned around and restored to him twice what he had. God don't take away. See, we're going to come to your place and say, hey, give me that calendar back. Why? We gave it as a free gift. Now it is your possession. The righteous gift that was given to me is my possession now. That's what a gift is. You know, our government has more sense than most Christians. Because our government, when you give money to an organization or something and give it as a gift, you are supposed to never have any control over that again. If you're giving money to somebody and telling them what they're supposed to be doing with it, you have not given a gift, according to the government. And the government's right, because you haven't given up control. Did God give me a gift that He still controls? If He did, He never gave a gift. God gave a gift. It was called righteousness, and He gave it to you. And that gift is yours. That righteousness belongs to you. God would never take it back. His whole point to do was to restore man to righteousness. He wanted to bring back the favor of God. From the time when Adam sinned in the garden, and Adam was down there and feared through sin consciousness to come to the presence of God again, when he was afraid and found himself naked and unclothed, he was ashamed. God wanted to remove that from man forever. And he did it through the gift of righteousness, that man could come. And that's why in Hebrews, Paul writing concerning righteousness, and he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. When you miss it, you can come boldly. The church has righteousness. We have the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. We've not used it. We've not walked and lived in the gift. We've not approached God on the basis of the gift of what He's made me through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We keep coming to God on the basis of the old dead man that we ain't even supposed to be remembering anymore. Our past has held us captive. The sins of the old sinner has been remitted. And remittance means removed. It's not there anymore. But we drag it up in the past. We drag it up of what we were. Use the terminology. Well, the old man's trying to live it. The old man's dead. The flesh is trying to rise up. We can slap him down with a renewed mind. If we'll renew our minds with the Word of God, we can tell the flesh to sit down and shut up. The flesh wants to go back to the memories of the past. And if you go there, it's because you like living back there and talking that junk and being a part of that. Yeah, people can't. I can get around people and that stuff, and you know, my best days that I've had were my high school years. I can't believe an adult would say something like that. I've had adults say that to me. That's your best days? When you were a complete idiot, and now you're a bigger idiot? Now you're a bigger moron than what you were? Oh, I just had some of them. They were great days when I was in school. You know what I like? I like growing up. I love growing up. I love taking more personal responsibility. You know the difference between my gift and the gift of God you got? I got a lot more responsibility than you guys have. That's the difference. You know what? I love it. It puts a demand on me, and that demand pushes me. And that pushes me to step into things. Glory to God, and there's blessing with it. Hallelujah. The more you want to push, the more anointing you want in your life, you're going to take more responsibility. If you don't want more responsibility, stay away from wanting more. There's responsibility goes with everything. That's life. Everybody today wants position. I ain't interested in a position. I want the glory and power of God. I don't care what title you give me. It means nothing. You know, most people today, you can give them a title and pay them less, and they're just happy to tell people there's some have a title. You know. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've watched that with people already. You know, I watch people do. I give them a title. Say, okay, you're a manager. You know, you get paid less you did when you're working, but we'll call you a manager. Oh, I got a title now. Boy, that tab really something. I don't need a title. Dear Lord, I need the glory. Oh, my words. Everybody today, title people. What are you? Hallelujah. I'm a devil caster outer. Hallelujah. Hands laying on the six. What? That's what I am. Because title don't give you anything. Title produces nothing. But we love all that stuff. Hallelujah. You want to get them really mad? Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who do you think you are? Oh my God, you backslidden buzzard. You, my words, that is heresy, you know. Who do you think you are? Exactly what the Word says. Hallelujah. To reign, the word reign means this, it means to be king, to exercise kingly power. To reign. In other words, you need to understand this. We're going to need this righteousness to reign. You're going to need this righteousness. You're not going to, if you're going to reign. Now I want you, I wrote this down because things the Lord was going over with me on, but listen. Listen, this is what I wrote down, because God was talking to me about some stuff. Because of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness given to us through faith in Jesus Christ, any believer can rule and lord over sin, the devil, and any evil spirit, and cast them out. We can rule over fear and any mental torment, any sickness, disease, any poverty, want, or need. Our Father God will answer any prayer that we pray in Jesus' name, because we are as righteous as Jesus Christ Himself. We have received God's very own righteousness. See, meditate on that for a while. You see, we don't see ourselves in the position that we're in. Is the lack of knowledge. Righteousness puts you in that place. When Jesus Christ took the sin of the world on Himself, when Jesus died with our sin, He went to hell as a sinner. He had the nature of sin. He took on the nature of sin. He took your nature on and mine. He sure didn't get a good deal with mine. You know, maybe you were a lot nicer. I don't know, but mine wasn't. But He took my nature on Himself. And He was born again. Jesus Christ is the first born from the dead, the Bible says. He isn't the first raised from the dead. People were raised to the dead before Him. Lazarus was raised from the dead, wasn't he? Jesus raised people. He was the first born from the dead. He was the first born again. Jesus had to be born in righteousness, or how could He go back to heaven with His blood if He wasn't righteous and go to the throne of God? No righteousness, no unrighteousness can go to the presence of God. Jesus had to become righteous. And Jesus, in His righteousness, He was raised in righteousness. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then the Scripture tells us this. You and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you ain't righteous, you ain't seated. That's the biggest lie that ever happened. If you are as righteous as Jesus, you cannot sit on the throne. Your righteousness has to be identical to His righteousness, because that's the only righteousness that will allow Him to go into the presence of God, is God's own righteousness. That's the only thing that's allowed to be in His presence. You've got to be as righteous as He is to be in your presence. And that's what God did through the death, burial, and resurrection. And all the church got is says, forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin. That's why most people don't even ever get born again. You don't get saved by forgiveness of sin. If you're not born again, you can go tell everybody in the world your sins are forgiven. You don't go to heaven because of that. You must be born again. You must become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't, you're not a child of God. Thank God we got forgiveness of sin, but we ain't got it like the world got it. You go out here, forget. I can forgive you, but God removes sin. The blood of Jesus Christ does not cover sin. I hate those songs where they sing about, and people say about, oh, you know, Jesus covered you with the blood. And people say, I'm covered with the blood. No, I'm not. The blood cleansed me. I'm clean. God, people say, God has to look at you through the blood, like you're some old scumbag. I'm the righteousness of God. He can look me in the eye. I'm His son. Do you have kids and you won't look at them? What kind of father the church preaches? They preach a heathen. They preach a heathen God and call Him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did He hide from Abraham? Did He hide from Isaac? Did He hide from Jacob? They were under an old covenant. And He showed up for them. And now the church is the lowlife, preaching their guilt and sin, making us ashamed to go before God. See, we need to come out from this. There needs to be a truth preached again in a church. It needs to come back to the church again. There's a life. See, this is the life I got. But see, I heard somebody preach it. This is what was preached to me as a baby Christian. These are the things that were preached. And today, the voices are just doing things to do all kinds of other stuff. But the church stays in this low little place We're trying to get people to believe God. We're trying to get them to do something, and they don't even feel comfortable in His presence. They don't even know if they can hang out with. Does He really like me? I'm going to tell you what. He sure went a lot of trouble to try to get near you. Hallelujah. He did a whole lot. Look what Jesus put up with and did so you can boldly watch right into the throne of God and take a seat with Daddy and fellowship with Him. And whatever you ask the Father, that's why Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Why? Because in His name, God would give Him anything. And He said, you use my name, He'll give you anything. Why? Because you're as righteous as I am. You're as righteous as me. Go ahead and ask Dad. He can't wait to give it to you. He has been waiting for eons of time to bless a people. And the church is like, oh no, He's making us sick for a reason. You know, He's doing this for a reason. Yes, He's doing all this stuff for a reason. Hallelujah. I found out His reason. It was called righteousness. And it was a place to come boldly to God that you and I can walk in, not based on my performance. I'm coming based on His performance. He gave me His righteousness. I'm as righteous as my Father is. He made me that way. I was born that way. I was born that way. That's my nature. My nature, your nature is righteousness. That's your nature. That's the inner man. Quit viewing yourself by the outer man. Get your mind renewed to what you really are, what you already have. See, healing and stuff becomes the easiest piece of cake once you know what you are and what you got. Hallelujah. And the Scriptures tell us God wouldn't withhold anything good from us. I wonder if He's just blowing some wind trying to say some nice stuff, make us like Him, and then on the sidelines He's the biggest liar that ever came along. Well, He's preached to be the biggest liar that ever came along because we make excuses. Well, you know, He's not doing it for some reason. We never stop to sit down and say, you know, I think it might be my faithlessness. That could have been. That could be. Let's throw the rock at God. What do you think? Hallelujah. Romans, the 3rd chapter. We can read that some more. I don't know if it's doing you any good. But I'll tell you what, the last few days, I've been over meditating on this stuff, and I'll tell you, I've come unglued a few times. I've been having me a time. I'll tell you what. I was sitting down reading E.W. Kenyon's book, and I'd read some, and then I'd have to pray in tongues for about an hour. I just kid myself. It's like, I'd get over there, I'd, oh man, the inner man would just get some. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans 3rd chapter, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in the sight, in His sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. Boy, we've had that. Haven't we had the knowledge of sin? We knew what was wrong, but what's sad, what's right? Hallelujah. Well, God's showing you what's right. Glory to God. Now listen. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets are witness to it. In other words, this is right. The law and the prophets are going to tell us that this thing we're going to hear is the right thing. They're bearing witness to it. Hallelujah. Because why? The law and the prophets told us what was to come. And if men would have read it, they wouldn't still be preaching the law on this side. Now listen. What is it? Even the righteousness of God. What is it we're talking about? The righteousness of God. Now, I want you to know what He said here. He said it is the righteousness of God. He didn't say it is a righteousness of God. He said it's the. In other words, it's the original. Glory to God. The righteousness of God. What is it? Through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. What is this righteousness? It's to you. And it's on you. And now we can read the next verse in the way it should have been read all the time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No, they always used that to throw you, to make you feel guilty about sin, and didn't tell you what He's trying to say to you. It don't matter. Every scumbag except Jesus gets God's righteousness. It's the same for everybody. All you unworthy things, you got it. Hallelujah. God gave you His very righteousness. You have the righteousness of God. You have God's very own righteousness. God gave that to you. That's what you have. You're as righteous as Father God. Now you might say, I don't understand that. Neither do I, but I don't care. It's true. My job is to believe it. If you're going to figure it out, you'll never live in it. You'll always walk around walking in stupidity. God didn't call you to figure out what the Word says. He told you to believe it. When you hear it, get believing it. Start saying it's true. You might get a revelation on it. But you're not going to get a revelation on it trying to figure it out. Everybody today wants to figure everything out. Then we're going to start talking it. Well, and I find this out. They never talk it because they never get a revelation on it. No, you say it's true. I'll tell you, I got God's right. I'm as righteous as God. That's insane. That's insane. Now, I'm going to tell you what. 90% of Christians, I hate my guts for saying that. People can get as nutty as they want about this thing. Let me alone. I'm having fun. Let me alone. Me and God are excited. I don't know about the rest of it. He talks to me in the morning. So I'm going to tell you what. Why would he bother talking to me if I'm so crazy? He must be looking for a nut to talk to. That's all I can figure. Hallelujah. And I'm crazy enough to let him talk to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This righteousness, it's God's righteousness. It's in all of us. It's on all of us. You ain't trying to get a righteousness. You got one. Is it a good one or what? Is it a good righteousness? Oh my God. It's phenomenal. God's righteousness. God's righteousness. See, we always looked in the scriptures and we looked at people and we thought, oh, this person, you know, they're righteous and this is righteous and that's right. We've looked at people. And here we are, the church, and we have God's righteousness. Nobody in the old covenant had it. Not one. All that they did over in the old covenant, everything they did under a righteousness of works. Look what they did under works. And the church is squandering around, acting so stupid, doing all these things. And we have the righteousness of God. Whoo! I wonder if God wants to heal somebody. Oh, he don't heal today. He don't do this. We don't talk in tongues no more. We don't do that. We don't do this. And then call themselves Christian. It's really a joke. It's a big joke. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans here. I want you to look at something concerning Abraham and righteousness because you need to see this. And Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans, the fourth chapter. See, Romans is a good place to go for righteousness. Hallelujah. We got it in here. You want to hear more? Okay, we got more? Hallelujah. If you want to quit, we can. I'll tell you. It's more good news. It's more good news. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm going to be talking to you. You're probably going to get up and run. You're just, woo! Get out of here shouting, running up and down the road. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, you don't know how bad I've been wanting to preach this. Man, this stuff is in me. I've been this week out of here. Since the Lord spoke to me about this thing has been in me, on me, whatever else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyhow, in Romans 4, verse 20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God, this is Abraham, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, was raised because of our justification. That word justification there can be actually translated righteous. In fact, some of the translations translate it as righteousness. He was raised, and it's the truth, because of your righteousness. You got the gift of righteousness. It was given to you. God's righteousness. God gave you his righteousness. You were raised. You believed on Jesus. I want you to see this. Abraham's righteousness was based on him who was a spiritually dead man. He wasn't born right. His faith wasn't based upon his faith and being born again. It was still a dead man's faith, a spiritual dead man's faith who believed what God said and God accounted him righteous. We need to understand this. Our righteousness through faith in Christ is the righteousness of God itself. It is a righteousness through birth. Abraham's wasn't through birth. Ours is through birth. The believer in Jesus Christ doesn't only have God's righteousness, but we have God's nature. Abraham didn't get, Abraham was counted righteousness, but he didn't get, wasn't counted the righteousness of God. Why? He couldn't. He didn't have the nature of God. But you got the nature of God. When you got born again and you received Christ, you got God's nature. If you have God's nature, you have to have God's righteousness, or you ain't got God's nature. God's nature is righteousness. That's what He is. Hallelujah. The righteous God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your righteousness supersedes Abraham. Thank God Abraham walked where he could. He walked and pleased God with a faith. But I'm going to tell you, you and I have a righteousness. If Abraham could be such a friend to God, if Abraham could be what he was and do what he did under that righteousness, what should you and I be? If Elijah is considered and used as somebody getting their prayer answered, a dead man spiritually, is used an example of a righteous man praying. If Elijah can get his prayers answered, it's a piece of cake for Ed to get his. Because I don't approach on the righteousness of faith of just on the word that they did. I'm righteous by birth. I'm a child of God. All of those ones before me were all servants of God. If servants could be blessed with a righteousness of just believing on the Word, what is the righteousness we have when we believed on the living Word of God and we got born again and have the very nature of God and God's own righteousness? My words, the church is a giant and has been running around like some little midget. Running around, squabbling, trying to get their prayers answered, looking for somebody to pray for them, somebody to heal them, somebody to do something. And they don't realize, my God, they're a volcano ready to blow up. All they got to do is see who and what they are, come boldly to the throne of grace, to stand in prayer before God and say, God, I have some things I'm going to ask you, and I know you're going to take care of it. Hallelujah! No, we go in and maybe if we whine for a real long time. You know what it is about going to Thanksgiving for God? You know what it is? It's going in there, acting thankful to God, not trying to butter Him up. That's why it don't work for you. I don't go in there and butter God up. I go thank Him because He's going to take care of me. I go in there and tell Him, Lord, I know I approach You. You're the best. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You gave me Your righteousness. You did all these things. Lord God, You blessed me in the past. You're going to bless me in the future. Here I am. Glory to God. See, most people, they're always doing these things, and they're doing it through the natural. You know, most people, all they're doing Thanksgiving Day, if they even have any Thanksgiving, or just thank God because He gave them lunch yesterday. And say, thank God we have a bigger lunch today. And to them, that's the life of Thanksgiving. And you know what? There ain't no faith in it. Hallelujah. It's approaching God and saying, I had lunch yesterday and I had lunch, lots of lunches before. And You're going to give me tons of lunches in the future. You're such an outstanding great God. I can hardly stand it. Can't wait to get near You. Lord God. You know, I don't go to, people go to the presence of God to try to get something. I just want to hang out with Him. I want to be near Him. This eternal life is outstanding. See, what's the point of approach to God? Most people, it's a works. It's a thing to try to maybe butter God up. Maybe He'll do something for me. My God, He gave me His righteousness. Jesus already said He'll answer any prayer I give to Him. What on earth am I trying to butter something up? All that is unbelief. Maybe if I talk real cute to Him. I talk cute to Him because I love Him. I tell you what, I love Him. I appreciate what He did. And I know what I ask He's going to do for me. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ is not a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We ain't a bunch of liars, are we? Glory to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go over here and read to you. We're going to read some more scriptures. I'll tell you what, read these scriptures. They're exciting. Scriptures you know. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. He's a new creation. See, that's what you are in Christ. You're new. You're born. You're a new birth. You're a new person. You're not the same person anymore. You're not the person today. We talk about people. We spend too much time about the past. People talking about their past. People live. People can't hardly remember what the Word of God said in Christians. And will turn around and tell you every little thing in the past they did and talked about all their past all the time. I can hardly remember. There's lots of things I can't remember about my past. I have to be reminded. I mean, I don't get these guys. That's why I always have problems about with guys being in Vietnam. I don't like to hang around and talk to them because all these guys remember everything that went on. I have a hard time remembering a lot of things. Why? Because that guy died that was back there. I didn't spend much. I spent my time chasing after God since I got born again. I haven't chased Vietnam. I haven't chased what I've done in my past. I haven't chased that. The memories of my past are not something I focused on. I've been focused on my future. My God, it's a good one too. Hallelujah. You ought to come and focus on my future. You ought to get excited. Hallelujah. You want one just like it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Man. Anyhow. And he made me Christ. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Praise God, they're gone. Hallelujah. The old's gone. Behold, all things have, not are going to, become new. You see, the inner man is not the same guy anymore. Now, your flesh is. You got saved, and you looked in the mirror, and you were still, 20 pounds overweight. Or whatever. But it don't matter. It's about what happens on the inside. See, you want to change things on the outside. It's learning what you really are. It's what God made you. That's how you change these things. They're changed from the inside. They're not changed from the outside. Hallelujah. Now, all things are of God. Now it says all things are of God. Are all things of God? Well, I don't know. Why are you disagreeing with God? God said all things. He said all things are of God. Who has what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now I want you to say, he reconciled. This is the simplicity of reconciliation. See, we're going to do it this morning. We call this communion. It's called, actually the word is fellowship. We use the word communion, but really, it's actually talking about fellowship. That's what it says, about fellowship. Why? We have fellowship with God. God says, through Christ Jesus, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is this, to restore to friendship or harmony. That's basically what it is. God's your friend. God, now I want you to see this. Listen, verse 19. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God's a friend of the world. We don't preach that. We're trying to get people. Now listen what he goes on and say. Not imputing their trespasses to them. Is that what we preach to the sinner? No, we tell them God's holding your sin. You got to ask him to forgive it. He's not imputing it. He's not holding it against them. Nobody goes to hell because of sin. They go to hell, they don't receive Christ. That's why they don't get born again. Why? Because only righteousness can be in the presence of God. You must be born again. You've got to become a new creation. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God. See, we're trying to get people to reconcile themselves with God, get born again. He's already reconciled himself to everybody. We're supposed to be telling them that they need to become a friend of God. How do you do that? Guys, accept Jesus. You'll be a friend of God. Hallelujah. You'll get born and be just like him. You'll have his very righteousness. You'll be enthroned with him. Hallelujah. You'll be in perfect harmony with God. Communion is to remind us of our union, of who we're fellowshipping with. See, when people lose that, you lose righteousness. People, to them, it's just some elements. It says, I'm saved. If that's all it is to you, it's worthless. Don't bother doing it. This is about eternal life. It's to remind us what we are, who we have become. Hallelujah. If you know who you are, it'll change your life. The reason Christians have a hard time changing their life is because they don't know who they are. They live like who they think they are. The sick continually living like they're sick. Why should we be surprised you stay sick? The poor living like they're poor. Why should we be surprised? Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the sick say I'm healed. You see, we're living under the weight of the past, of the place of sin. We're living under that. God has made man free. God's in harmony with man. You're born again. You have eternal life in you. Would you need any more than that to change? Would you? Would we need any? God's life ain't enough. The Holy Ghost living in you, making you alive, it's not enough. We need an extra dose. We need a bigger dip. No, we need a renewed mind is what we need. We need to change the way we think about this. Religion don't know what to do with the fact. Religion will do this. Religion will always lead you to works to try to be righteous. It'll always have you working to be righteous. Now, I want you to understand this. We want to have righteous conduct. The Bible teaches it. But I'm going to tell you what. If you don't know that you are righteous, you'll probably never live righteous. If you're trying to become righteous, forget it. You can't get it by what the works you do. When you know who and what you are, don't be surprised you start living up to the standard. When you really know that you're righteous, you know the one thing it is? I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? My great desire is to live righteous. I want to do what's righteous. It's only within the nature. You see, we're turning around. When we get to the place that we feel we've done enough righteous stuff, we might call ourselves righteous. Exactly opposite. And you know what happens? You go for a week and you do real good. And the following week, you just blow it 10 times. And there went all of your righteousness out the window. And there you go. You're starting all over again trying to be righteous. You're starting all over again. And you go back and you never get past this thing where you feel confidence in the presence of God. Because you're always reminded of your weaknesses and your failures. Instead of being reminded of His glory and what He's done for me. That when I miss the mark, I have the most forgetful Lord you ever met in your life. You go to my daddy and you know what happens? You confess his sin and that dude can forget forever and never remember about it again. It's a fantastic thing. It would be good if we took on his mind. Hallelujah. It would end a lot of sin consciousness. We never forgive. You know, we ask God to forgive us, but we never forgive ourselves and live in up the place of condemnation, in that place of guilt before God. Well, look how many times I missed it. My God, I don't make me nervous missing it. That don't bother me. I don't go in the presence of God. God never responded to Ed based on how many times he hit it perfect. My God, he'd probably never want to talk to me. But he hadn't approached me on the basis of my works. He approaches me on the basis of my faith in Jesus Christ. He approaches on the one that I responded to. And now I'm his very own child. And I have his righteousness. And so do you. Hallelujah. Well, I've been preaching and spitting. I've been spitting all over this thing here. I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the path of righteousness that the Holy Spirit will lead you into. This is. This is the path of righteousness that the Holy Ghost ain't going to lead you into another one. This is it. The things I'm preaching right now. This is the path of righteousness that the Holy Ghost will lead you into. This is what He wants you to know. If any spirit tries to lead you into any other righteousness, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. See, we can be led by the Spirit of God. See, if you know the Spirit, see, you can know what the Holy Spirit. See, that's why as we look in the Word and these things here that we learn to know when the Spirit's talking to us. Because there's many voices. Don't you be listening to all these voices. There's so much stuff that's said. What's saying? This is why I constantly say, you go to the Scriptures and find out. I don't care what a man preaches. I can show you things in this preacher. We can preach a condemnation and make you feel like you're unrighteous. And I can use Scripture to do it. But you're going to have to twist things to do it. You've got to take things out of their context. You know, we can say things, well, you know, the heart's always to do wrong. Heart's always going to do what's wrong. Pull a Scripture out of its context, talking about spiritually dead man, drag it over, smack you over the head with it, and tell you a lie. My spirit was born and created in Christ Jesus. I do not want to always do wrong. I always want to do right. I always. The real Ed, he always wants to do what's right. He's not looking to do wrong. Hallelujah. He wants to do right. The inner man wants to follow God. Hallelujah. His whole intent, his purpose is to follow God. That's what's going on. Hallelujah. See, we take communion today. Communion reminds us who and we are. Hallelujah. We're one with Christ Jesus. We eat the bread. We're one with Him. We're one with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. That's how you got born again. He took your sin. He was raised for your justification or for your righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ was taken into the holies of holies of heaven. A righteous, risen man who was God-man walked into heaven. Made righteous, was sin in hell, made righteous, walked in with His blood, put it on the mercy seat to make an eternal redemption for you. To make you forever righteous. And then God says, any of them that believe on you, they're going to be seated the same as you are. Hallelujah. They're as holy as you are. They're as righteous as you are. They're as pure as you are. Hallelujah. Scripture says God became our wisdom. He became our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Hallelujah. God's my sanctification. I'm sanctified. Whose sanctification is it? God's. I got God's sanctification. Glory to God. I'll tell you, this stuff is so good. It'll make you crazy. I'll tell you what, it just, woo! My God. My God, we've been drinking water when we could have had something good. You know, we just, my words. Hallelujah. See, this is the new wine. I'll tell you what. This will put the joy in you. See, you preach righteousness, don't you get happy? You preach sin consciousness, you don't get much peace out of that. Hallelujah. But righteousness brings joy. It brings gladness back to the church again. Because we can stand before God. We want to live holy. We can go over there and we can talk about those things. We want to live a holy life. But first you've got to come to the starting places. You've got to receive what the Scripture says about you and who and what you really are. And I guarantee you, when man sees what he is, we shouldn't be surprised that people's lives change. It's the norm. Hallelujah. It's the norm. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. They want to go down. Yeah, well, we're going to have communion. They can have the children come up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Lord God, oh, Lord God, you've been stirring the pot. Glory to God. Lord God, things have been cooking. And they're in us, and you're stirring it up. Lord God, you're stirring it. And these things in us, Lord God, there's a fire that's burning in there. Oh, those things were just coals burning, and there was stuff in there that wasn't on fire. But Lord God, you're stirring it now, and you're getting that whole thing burning. Oh, my God. The heat's a coming up. And glory to God, it's a change in us. Lord God, we desire to go from glory to glory, and Lord God, you're taking us there. You're taking us that place. I thank you today, Lord God. Lord, as we come to you in the communion table today, Lord God, we're not sneaking up on it. Lord God, I want to thank you. If we've missed it and we haven't walked righteously, I am just so thankful because of your righteousness, we can come boldly to you and confess our sin. You're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness as just as if we never did anything wrong. I want to thank you. We never did nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Lord God, we can stand before you just as pure and holy. Hallelujah. With no remembrance. Lord God, we refuse to remember what we repented of. We refuse to think about it. We refuse to let it on our minds because, Lord God, you've blotted it out. You remitted it through Jesus Christ. It's forgiven, removed out of the way. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. We stand before you today, cleansed of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Everything, Lord, pure and holy before you. Lord God, we approach these elements. We come to these as fellowship with Jesus Christ our Lord. That we're hooked up in the same fellowship John wrote about in 1 John. Our fellowship is truly with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're hanging out with our daddy and our big brother. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're one with you today. Hallelujah. We're not slithering around, sneaking around. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not trying to get you to like us. My God, you love us. Hallelujah. You love it when we come to your presence with boldness of faith and confidence in you. Lord God, you desire to shower blessing out upon us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, that we can ask anything in your name and you would give it to us. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the name. I thank you, Jesus. We don't take this place today because because we want anything. We didn't win it. Hallelujah. We didn't get it. But we're going to take it. We're going to come to you, and out of love and respect for you, we receive it by faith. And we take that righteousness, that it becomes our righteousness. Father, your righteousness is our righteousness. We're your son, Father. Jesus did it for us. Hallelujah. And we honor him as King of Kings. And Father, we desire for Jesus to lord over us. We want him to rule over us. We want him to dominate our lives. We want to be possessed with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We want to be dominated with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us today and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can have the servers come. They're bringing the children up and they're coming along. Hallelujah. Phew. I've been in communion already. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we're talking about fellowship. We become one with Jesus. Hallelujah. God became a man just like us. We're identified in his body, him dying on that cross. On his, see, he had a physical death. But see, the Bible talks about in Isaiah, it talks about his deaths, plural. See, he didn't just die physically. He died spiritually before he died physically. He died with our sin. He became a sinner on the cross, and we're identified because our sins were put on him. Now, I want you to think about that. See, when we're identified and we eat this bread, we're identified to being one with him, the one that did this. We're one with him. He's the one that took our sin on him. He went into hell and paid the price for eternal wrath of God on us. It fell on him. See, the devil can't ask for us to have to pay that price because that's double jeopardy. See, it's already been paid. Jesus already paid the price. This is why nobody goes to hell from the standpoint of sin, because Jesus paid the price of all men in hell. They go there because they don't receive Christ. They don't get born again. It's the only way to get to heaven is get born again. You must pass from death unto life. You got to get born again to become the righteousness of God, because only the righteous can be in heaven. And the only way you can get righteous, you got to die and become a new person. And Jesus did it. Hallelujah. When you operated in faith in him, and we're identified not just in death. This is not a death ceremony here, folks. This is a life ceremony, folks. This is about life. This is about what we've become. Hallelujah. We're one with the risen one. We are one. The blood, where's the blood at today? The blood's in heaven on the mercy seat, made an eternal redemption. We're identified as being one with that blood. We're one with that blood that's in heaven. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. If I take a running spot, it's all right. It's just communion service, but I think we could get rowdy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Lord God, by faith today, we receive the work of Jesus Christ, that he took our sin upon him, that he died, and that he was risen for our justification, for our righteousness. And Father, we identify that as being true. And Lord God, that we can stand before you today in holiness and in purity by faith in Jesus Christ. Lord God, that we are in harmony and fellowship with you today, Father God, through our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. We are one together. Hallelujah. Take it and eat. The blood. The blood's the seal of the covenant. And God, we look from the Old Testament on through dealing with blood. When they made covenants, they used blood. Sometimes they sealed, they cut them each other. They'd mingle their blood, people would do. But God used blood as a covenant from the beginning with Abraham. We see Abraham and the shedding of blood. But God made covenants. And whenever God made a covenant, God's covenants were never changeable. When God covenanted with somebody and he did it, whatever he promised or said concerning his part, concerning that covenant, God would always carry it out. God would always do. When God turned around and the law came along and set up the law, the words of the law became sure. In fact, the blessings that came with the law, if Israel followed, did their part, the blessings would come. It was because of the seal of blood in the covenant. Israel was forgiven every year of their sin, for every year by the blood of bulls and goats, because of blood that sealed their sin. For a year, they were forgiven. Till the next year came along, they did. But the blood was always the seal of the covenant. We have blood in our covenant. Our blood is the blood of Jesus Christ, which is in the holies of heaven. There has been no other blood up there. Jesus Christ is the only blood that's ever been in heaven. Do you know that? There has never been any other blood. There's never been any other human being that had blood in them that could ever go there. He didn't go there that way, but he took his blood that was here on the earth that fulfilled a covenant. And that covenant is the covenant that we got born again under. It's the covenant we became righteous under. It's the covenant we become holy under. And that covenant is unbreakable. That covenant is unbreakable. God cannot break it. If God breaks it, he's a liar. He cannot. He will never break the covenant. Men might break the covenant. God never will. And that blood is put on the mercy seat of heaven. And it says this today. I can say, my salvation is secure. I'm as righteous as God. God said so. He can't change his word. He can't change it. What he said he would do to bless me, he has to do it. My faith is based on that. It's based on his righteousness. Is his covenant righteous or not? And what does he tell us to do? We drink it. We become one with the blood. Glory to God. We're one with the blood. An unchangeable covenant. Hallelujah. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been seated in heavenly places. You're sanctified by God. Hallelujah. Set apart for God. That was God's plan. It's in his covenant. It's true. What we need to do is believe it. That's what this communion's about. Hallelujah. It isn't something for the future. Our communion is not like the Jesus and them doing the Passover about something coming ahead. This is about the here and now. Hallelujah. Right now we've been holy. Right now we're righteous. Right now we're children of God. And we're declaring it through the blood. We're saying that this is true. This is right. It's holy. This is what God has made us through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. And Lord God, we humbly take it. Lord, we know we didn't earn this. Hallelujah. And we ain't going to try to do it either. Lord God, by faith, we drink today, Lord God, declaring ourselves as being under the great covenant that you established through Jesus Christ. And that covenant is fulfilled in us today in Jesus' name. Take it and drink. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up today. Anyhow, glory. We're going to be taking our offering, I said this morning, for Lebanon Rescue Mission.